if I was prepared and turned there myself. So John chapter 9, starting at verse 1, and we're going to read down to verse number 7. And as you're turning there, I want to say what a great honor it is to be able to bring the word tonight. Amen. I give great honor to my pastor. I don't take this lightly one bit, and I give honor to him. I also give great honor. She's not in here right now. She's actually teaching the hyphen students right next door. But I give great honor to my wife Amber as well. She's one of my biggest supporters, and I love and appreciate her. But John chapter 9, verse number 1. When you got it, say, I got it. Good. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Verse number 2 says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse number 3 goes on to say, and Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He was there for a purpose. That blindness was for a purpose. There was a reason that he was there. But verse number 5 says, as long as I am in the world, or actually going back to verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And this is them red words, by the way. Those are important words. Them red words. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5 goes on to say, as long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. Verse 6 goes on to say, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. That sounds awesome. Verse number 7 goes on to say, and he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And I do have a very, very simple title tonight, but the application isn't always so simple. And this is something that God's been dealing with me about for a long time. And I truly believe that somebody in here is going through exactly what I'm going to preach on tonight. But my title is simply this: God of the Process. Very simple. God of the process. Why don't we put our Bibles down? Let's lift our hands one more time before we're seated. Lord God, we thank you today, Lord. I pray right now, God, that you anoint my lips, anoint your word today, Lord. Don't let it fall on deaf ears today, Lord. I pray that you move in this service, God. Have your way today, Lord. Let us leave changed tonight, Lord God. We give you thanks, God. We give you glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands as you're seated tonight? Amen. But God of the process. So reading this story, it is obvious that clay made from spit is a very, very weird way to heal somebody. Okay? That is a very, very awkward way to heal somebody. But, and let me go ahead and start off by saying this. I'm not a stranger to weird ways of healing. See, some of you in here knew my mom, and I'm talking about my mom. You know, y'all knew her, obviously, being in church. When she got the Holy Ghost, my sweet mama was here. She was a fervent believer in prayer and God's healing. She knew that. But I'm talking about pre-Jesus. I'm talking about before ever receiving the Holy Ghost, before being baptized or converted. But my mom had a very, very funny way of thinking that there was this magical healing process that actually cured every sickness, every disease known to man. Now, growing up, Vicks Vapor Rub cured it all. That Vicks, every time you cough one time, I never forget my dad always saying, like, I'm coughing, etch at the Vicks, which means put Vicks on. You'll be all right. So Vicks, it cured everything. Just make sure you put it on your chest. You put it on your nose. You put it on your throat. You put it on your feet. You got to put the socks on. And then you wake up and you're cured. You feel better. Everything's good to go after that. But that's just the regular strength, okay? That's just the regular cure, okay? If you want the maximum strength cure, you got to couple that along with drinking a can of Sprite or 7-Up. Again, I don't know. That was the thing. Pre-Jesus, mind you, pre-Jesus, okay? Don't be going over there saying, Brother Ray, tell me to rub Vicks all over my body, and then I'm going to feel good in the morning. No, that's not what I'm saying, okay? As a matter of fact, you're going to smell like a hot mess, okay? You're going to wake up stinking. That's one thing she didn't tell me the next day was that my bed sheets were going to stink, okay? Anyway. But there's something about that, I guess, that deadly mix of eucalyptus and carbonated citrus together. We would have no pandemic if that was the case. Just mix it. We would have never had to shut down. And the only reason you'll wear a mask is, again, not to smell somebody else. So, anyway. Move on before I get in trouble. So here, back to the story. Here we have Jesus walking through the streets of Jerusalem after being chased out of the temple in John chapter 8. If you read that, he actually told the religious leaders in the temple, Jesus said that he is the I am. Amen. He was the I am. And as soon as they heard that, they gathered up stones and they were about to stone him. So Jesus was like, peace out, I'm gone. So as he's walking, I would too if somebody's trying to stone me. But as he's passing through, Bible says that he meets a man that's been blind since birth. Now, during this time, it was believed that certain ailments were a punishment due to sin. Jesus had a very unusual method of healing because he spit on the ground. He was talking and saying all this beautiful stuff. If you go back and read the opening text, he was saying that as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And this man, talking about the blind man, that the works of God was to be made manifest. And then all of a sudden he spits on the ground. And the Bible says that he anoints the eyes of this man, which means he made some clay with that spit and that dirt and he smeared it across the man's eyes. Amen. Beautiful. I'll stick to Vicks Vapor Rub. But he spat on the ground, he made clay. But just imagine that. You walk into your doctor's office with your sickness and your doctor's like, all right, you know what? I got something for you. Follow me to this field. And there's this dirt right here. Turn around. You may want to turn around on this one. And he spits and just smears it across your face. Okay? Or if pastor did that, when you come up for prayer, amen, he doesn't reach for this bottle of oil over here. Anyway. The answer is no. Okay? We're not going to do that. But spitting is one of the most, obviously one of the most unsanitary things you can ever do or place on someone. It's one of the most degrading things if you do it on purpose. If you spit on another person, you are actually degrading them and saying that they are nothing. In certain places, spitting on someone is actually assault. However, Jesus didn't spit on the man directly. He spit on the ground and he made clay and smeared it over the man's eyes. Two of the most unsanitary things, dirt and spit. Bible then says he tells the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And his eyes were open and he received sight. Now, this miracle obviously got the town folks talking. If you go back and read these verses here, people begin asking, wasn't this the beggar? Wasn't this the one begging a little while ago that was blind begging over here? See, that's the reputation that the man had at the time. He was just a blind beggar, just a lowly blind beggar. But then he walks in seeing. Imagine that, just a blind man that was blind one moment comes, brother beggar, that's a nice shirt you have on right there. That is a cool shirt. Mimi, I love the way your hair looks tonight. That's going to throw you off. It's going to get you talking. Be like, man, you couldn't see since birth, but now you're saying that you can see. But the thing was, the people being who they were only remember what he once was. Amen. After the man began to share his testimony, he began to say exactly what went on. He talked about his encounter with Jesus. They begin to talk. They begin to question things. Amen. They begin to be distracted all of a sudden. They completely missed a miracle. Because of their own mess. Amen. They started talking. They started asking different questions. And as a matter of fact, they went as far as to take this man, being so petty, they took this man to the Pharisees because of their religious tradition. Now, let's talk about the Pharisees. Let's talk about them for a minute. John chapter 9, verse 16 goes on to say, or it says here, "Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day," speaking of Jesus. Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. There was a division. Never mind the fact that a miracle just happened. They couldn't see the miracle that just took place. All they did was sit there distracted. The blind beggar received his sight for the first time, but these unbelieving pessimists and the Pharisees were blinded by their own mess, that they got distracted and completely missed the miracle that was placed and done right in front of them. That's why I'm here to tell you tonight, church, it is important not to let little distractions take you away from what God is doing in your life. From what God is doing in this church, from what God is doing. I know the world is crazy right now, but there's a generation right now that's still being raised up. God is still calling folks in these last days. God is raising up generations of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He's still doing it. Amen. It's not a thing of the past. It's not a thing that we just read in the Bible. He's raising them up right now. I don't know if you noticed this, but on Sundays, it's awesome to see, and we come from youth ministry, my wife and I, it's awesome to see these young people all around the front of the altar here. We are the example that they see. These are the ones that are going to be preaching to your kids and your grandkids. These are the ones that are going to be pastoring your kids and your grandkids. It's time to take it serious. Right now, this isn't part of my notes here, but I'm getting older, okay? I'll be 39 this year, and man, I go back and look. At one point, I was 15 years old sitting in the front over here. I blinked, and I'm old now. I have dad bod before I even had a kid. I don't know how that happened. I was prepared to be a dad, I guess. But time passes by fast, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, I'm over 20 years older than some of these kids. Holy cow. But that's the generation after me. What I do now, the relationship I have with them as well, we need to encourage them. Amen. These kids now are dealing with things, and we've been removed from youth ministry for a while, but I can just imagine all the stuff that's going on. They're dealing with things that I didn't deal with till I was an adult. There are things that they're struggling with right now that the world is pumping on them. Anyway, but God is raising them up. We can't allow distractions to keep that away from us, even at our age right now, because God's calling all of us in here. We're one body together. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter the age group. We're here together. Mimi, I need you. You need me. We're here together. We need prayer warriors. Not everybody can go out and do things, but we need somebody to pray. Not everybody can go out and knock doors and do things. That's why we all need to be united. We need to be together. But all of these are called for the perfecting of the saints. But it's never going to happen if we allow distraction to rob us from where God has taken us. Amen. From where God is calling you out of. There's going to be distractions. We got to be careful who we surround ourselves with, who we listen to, what we listen to. Because if we're not careful, that voice can drown out the voice of God. God's calling us, folks. God's calling us. Each and every one of us in here, I'm crazy enough to believe that God called us and brought us out for a reason. He didn't call us out just to sit on a chair or a pew somewhere and just collect dust like some of the Bible said some people have. That's not what we're called for. We're called to go. We're called to do. There's a calling for us. But distractions can cause you to be divided from the miracle. Hallelujah. Bible says that there was a division amongst them. There was a division. They were distracted by their own stuff. And I fully understand how that can happen. We can come in and have a fiery, hot Sunday night service, but then Monday happens. Things happen. Amen. We're distracted. Go back to work. We go back home. Hallelujah. There's distractions that happen. God can be moving so strong on one side. Holy Ghost is outpouring. We had, what, over 10 people receive the Holy Ghost the past few weeks. We've had baptisms. I'm telling you, God is still pouring out. This isn't something that we just read in the Bible. It's happening, folks. It's happening right here. It's happening right now. But we can't allow our own personal baggage that we can't seem to get loose from distract us and keep us away from the miracle. See, the enemy is very good at keeping you dwelling on the past. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I am one of the biggest recipients of God's grace and God's mercy. Amen. It's real easy to dwell on the past. Hallelujah. Past wounds, past pains, past hurts, and believe that there is no hope for you. This is used to keep you from receiving deliverance, from true deliverance. Now, I'm going to share something with you, but just a few years ago, some of you were here, but this is actually my home church. So I was 14 years old. I was born and raised in Fort Worth, and this was my, I was raised another quote-unquote religion at the time, never really went to church, but I got the invitation to come here at the age of 14, and I met Bishop Gerald McGehee. He was pastor at the time, and I'll never forget it. The first time he met me, he came up, shook my hand, and gave me a hug. And you got to understand, growing up with a family not in church, I was raised that men don't cry, men don't hug, men don't show emotion. We only shake hands. And here we have Brother McGehee coming up, shaking my hand, giving me a hug, saying, "Hey, I love you. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here." It threw me off. But this is where it started, and I was 14 years old, and again, life happens, but I said all that to say this. I came back here, I moved away for a little while, and 2018 was one of the darkest times and darkest periods in my life. This was a season, a very, very dark season in my life. It was personally, spiritually, financially, emotionally, anything you can think of that happened during this time. This was the darkest and craziest times of pain and loss in my life. And, you know, just when I came back here and I thought there'd be a little break from the darkness, it seems like it just got worse. Because during that time, I mentioned her earlier, but I lost my mom during that time as well. So we have all this craziness going on, and it just seems like, Lord, why? I have all this going on, and why this now? That just seems to be the final blow. Now, I was this close, even before then, of just throwing it all away, just walking away from everything, walking away from God, walking away from everything I knew. But the only thing that kept me, just listen to me tonight, folks. The only thing that kept me was I remembered those moments I had before when I was face to face with the I Am. I'm thinking about that blind beggar that was sitting there. There was distractions going all around him. But Jesus came through. See, you got to understand, he couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. He couldn't see him because he was blind. But Jesus stopped everything. Stopped. And he spoke. He spat on the ground too. Made some clay. But he spoke. But during this time, just when I thought that this is like the final blow, I just remembered those moments that kept me grounded. And saying, Lord, I don't see it. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know where, if you're ever going to come through. But God, I trust you. Amen. I believe you. I know that you called me at an early age. I know the calling I had on my life. I know that you marked me. It goes beyond you being baptized in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost. God's marked you and he's called you to move forward. No matter what happens, no matter the darkness, no matter the pain, God's called you. But from the beginning of that time of my darkest period until today, and this is where the title comes in, everything I lived through, God revealed to me that this is my process. Amen. This is the process you had to go through, speaking to me. I believe right now some of you are no longer in the pit. You're no longer valley low. Some of you may or may not be on the mountaintop right now. But I believe that there are some people right now stuck in the process. Amen. You're stuck in between. And there's frustration. There's uncertainty. Come on. I'm here to remind you, it's okay. Amen. But guess what? You're here. Hallelujah. That's what separates you from quitting. Amen. Is the fact that you're still here. Amen. You haven't given up. You didn't walk away. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is drawing you. Amen. God is drawing us in these last days, folks. Amen. God's drawing us. God will sometimes allow you to get to a place of isolation and complete darkness to where every layer is stripped away and you literally have no other option but to wait and to listen. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight. Maybe you're stuck in that. Maybe there's some frustration that you've been having. But God is stripping away things from your life. That had to happen, as painful and as excruciating as that was. It had to happen to where every distraction was removed from my life. And there was only me and him. Hallelujah. That blind beggar and Jesus face to face with the I am. Hallelujah. He couldn't see him, but he can hear him. Amen. Sometimes it takes being stripped away. And here's the hardest part. Is the fact that when you feel like you want to rebuild or start new and you start tearing some stuff down in order for that to happen, you realize, hey man, there's some more mess over here. If anybody's ever done some remodeling before, putting some new cabinets up or something, you start to tear down the old cabinets and then realize, oh man, the wood over here on the wall is toe up. Now I got to replace that wood too. The more you start taking away, you're like, oh man, my cost just went up again. Now I don't have to just replace the cabinets. I got to replace this wood over here. I got to replace this wall. Got to tear it down. Sometimes we need to tear stuff down in our life. Amen. Before God can build it up, before he can replace it with something new, there are some things that need to be torn down and ripped out. Amen. The process. Somebody say the process. The man in the story, he was blind since birth. He received sight, but there was a difficult process before the glory of the miracle took place. The process. See, during his blindness, and I'm almost done here. During his blindness, Jesus applied clay and smeared it across his eyes to make sure the blind man couldn't even open his eyelids. So in the middle of his blindness, even though he was blind, Jesus walks up and smeared his eyelids shut. So there was darkness upon darkness. Amen. That's what it seems like during your process. Hallelujah. Some of you are in the middle of your process right now. You can't see to the left. You can't see to the right. You can't see behind you or in front of you. Some of you may even question the very existence of God in your life. But the process sometimes requires you to sacrifice. Sometimes we need to remain silent in the most difficult process of all. Sometimes we got to wait. Amen. We hate waiting. Amen. I absolutely cannot stand waiting. I think it drives my wife crazy. We go to a drive-thru or something, and I'm very guilty of it. Before we even stop, I'm like, you know what you want yet? It's like, man, I didn't even looked at the menu. I go, it's McDonald's. We've had the same menu since the Old Testament. I go, the menu hasn't changed. I go, you know what you want? That's just me. I hate waiting. I'm like, look, man, I want to go home hungry. All right, let's go on. Order your stuff and let's go. But we hate waiting. I'm guilty of it just like the next person. But sometimes we have to sit and we have to wait. God, I can't see you. I don't know where you are, and I don't even know if you care. That's some of our mindsets, folks. Can we be honest tonight? Now, you know me. I'm not doom and gloom. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of hope. There's hope tonight. There's hope for you. If this is your process, it's okay. It's just about over. We are in the middle of that process. Some of you, let me not get ahead of myself here. I want you to notice that Jesus was passing. The man couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. The man at his lowest, loneliest place, he was face to face with the Savior. Jesus saw his condition. He saw the circumstance. He knew the crowd was around him. He saw the ailment and added to it to ensure that the man was completely stripped away. And all the distractions were gone. See, his eyesight was not present, but his hearing was. He heard the voice. Some of you have heard the voice of God. Some of you know that you are called. Some of you call, God called some of you at a young age. That calling doesn't go away. The process seems so dark and so lonely. It seems so painful. But that suffering is about over. Your spiritual eyes are going to be opened after this season is over. God is telling some of you right now that have clay over those blinded eyes, God is telling you to stand up and go wash. He's telling us right now, as Brother Ben comes, musicians come, it's time to go and wash. There are promises that God has, that he has promised you a long time ago, if we can stand all across the house. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have vapor rub. I don't have any sand in here to make clay. But I do believe it's time to press in and to wash. Amen. That clay has been over your eyes for far too long. That process is just about over. All the uncertainty will disappear, and that is between you and God. But God is calling and telling some of you to go and to wash. God will reveal to you exactly why that process took so long. If we can make our way to the front here, I'm just about done, and we'll spend some time with the Lord. But the process does not have to make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. I have no idea why Jesus spat on the ground and made clay. I have no idea. The Bible never says that the process and you living for God was going to be easy. But the Bible does say it's going to be worth it. This process is worth it. John 9, 24 to 25 says this. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. See, you were cast out if you even mentioned that somebody else was the I am. This man had an encounter with Jesus. And in the middle of their division and their distractions, this man goes on to say, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. In other words, I have no idea what you're bickering about. I have no idea why you're being petty. All I know, and this is the former blind man speaking, he said, at one point I was blind, but I had one encounter with this man, and now I see. Your season's about over. Your season of mourning, your season of weeping, your season of uncertainty. This process that God has is about over if you just go and wash. Amen. Sister Ashley's going to sing here. But if we can just take our time right now and just lift our hands all across this place. The Holy Ghost is here right now. The presence of God is here right now.
All my life you have been faithful.
He's called you. He's brought
all
you out.
All my life you have.
You may not see it. It may not make sense, but God's called you for this purpose, for this time right now.